Going to turn our attention to trout and trout fishing and trout streams here in Wisconsin as we visit with Jay Thurston. Jay Ford Thurston has been a columnist for the Vernon County Broadcaster. His new book includes 60 of his columns from the Broadcaster, photographs of trout and with whom he's gone fishing, a list of trout fishing trips in the book, a list of what he considers to be the 100 trout streams in Wisconsin, the best, and a guide to finding them. Lots of really good information in here, along with some pretty good writing, too, I got to tell you. Jay Ford Thurston with us by phone. And as we visit with him about trout and trout fishing, I got to tell you, I learned an awfully lot in this book. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm pretty far along. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Jay, with us by phone. Hi, Jay.
Hi. Good to hear your voice, Larry. I'm pleased to be on the program.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really enjoying your book.
Great.
And I'm learning a lot right from the first chapter, as a matter of fact. You have you filled this book with lots of great tips.
Yes, it has 150 trout tips, and I believe that's more than in any other trout fishing book.
I think you might be right. And you know, they're sprinkled through the book, but then when we get to the end of the book, you sort of compiled them all.
Yes, I listed them just in case you miss any as you're reading. You can always go back or underline them or highlight them, whatever you want to do.
How'd you get involved in trout fishing?
Well, I was born in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Felch near Iron Mountain in Dickinson County. If you're there, you would just about have to be a trout fisherman because we're surrounded by trout streams there. And we moved to Wisconsin when I was a teenager, but we always went back. My dad was a teacher, and we would go back to Michigan quite frequently to fish those great streams there. But I've traveled around the state and fished just about every corner of the state, lived in number of places, and up in northern Wisconsin. My parents retired and lived up near Hayward. So I fished in a lot of places, and I guess over the years my interest in trout fishing just continued to grow and expand, and now I'm looking at age 77 in 2 days, and I fished trout for about 68 of those years.
Oh, man, that's a great story. Well, what is it about trout fishing?
Well, the trout get you there to some of the most beautiful places you have ever been. There's not an ugly trout stream anywhere in Wisconsin. And so they get you to those beautiful places, and you're there then to enjoy the scenery, the nature. And plus that, wading up a trout stream is one of the best exercises I get.
Yeah, it is great. And in one of your chapters, and You fished with a guy who talked about sort of a Christmas presents, and he related it to trout.
Right, Bruce Risto. And Bruce is an excellent trout fisherman and very aware of the environment around him. And I always appreciate having the opportunity to fish with someone like that because I'm going to learn something new as well. And indeed, a trout is a present. And when we release them, which now 94% of the anglers do in Wisconsin, we're giving a gift to another angler.
And yet, you also point out that we should sometimes be taking those trout.
Yes, some of our trout streams now have too many trout in them, probably at least too many that you're not as likely to catch a real big trout there. If we have a lot of 12 to 15-inch trout eating the minnows before they get large, you probably aren't going to catch a trout over 20 inches because that trout needs some big food, like big chubs and suckers. And if they're not in the stream, then it's not going to happen. However, just about 3 weeks ago, I did catch a nice 20-inch brown in the stream within 10 miles of Viroqua. So they're there, but not as many as there used to be.
Well, I tell you, you put in quite a plug for Viroqua in one of your chapters. I'm sort of paging through the book now, trying to find that particular chapter. But yes, within 20 miles, I believe you mentioned.
Within 20 miles of Viroqua, I listed 20 trout streams, I think, or so, that are all excellent streams. And we have within 10 miles of Viroqua, 10 trout streams. Within 20 miles, 20 trout streams. And there are a lot of good ones. In fact, in my list of the 100 best trout streams, I listed Vernon County first. It has 11 on the list. Bayfield County also has 11, but the first five in Viroqua are rated higher than the first five overall in Bayfield County. So I call it Trout Central.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And as I read through the book, there were so many fascinating points about one had to do with the that I recall had to do with the hard water streams.
Yes. We're fortunate in this area because of the limestone bedrock and the water seeping down into the earth, becoming groundwater. When it hits limestone, it takes on greater acidity, begins to dissolve the limestone, and that's why we have caves and sinkholes here. But the minerals enter this water and come out as springs, and that water, rich in minerals and hard water, produces just a tremendous amount of microscopic plant and animal food, which is the basis for other food that are produced in the trout stream. And it's very, very rich in food for trout and minnows. And as a result, we call them spring creeks. They're very special places, and they're found wherever we have that limestone bedrock.
And the trout get bigger there.
Yes, they do. And we can have 3,000 to 5,000 trout per mile here, as some of our streams do, and have the habitat, the food content that will provide for all those trout.
And and that was pretty early in your book you were talking about that. I remember one other point that I thought was interesting that I hadn't thought about before that much. But you say when the air temperature was at above 40 degrees and rising.
Yes, I identified three temperatures where I have found the trout really tend to feed. One is a 40-degree rise, and the reason for that is our water is heaviest at 39 degrees. So that heavy water settles to the bottom. Our lakes turn over at 39 degrees. So we want the water to go up 1 degree above 39, and trout will feel 1 degree change or even less in the water. I was fishing a trout stream down in Crawford County with Bruce Risto, and this story's in the book, too, where we started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's about a two-hour lag in air temperature to water temperature. So it took about 2 hours before the water temperature started to warm up. And you always want the water temperature warming up, not going down. If it goes down 1 degree, trout shut down. It took 2 hours before the water temperature warmed up in that little creek. We were only catching little trout the first 2 hours. At 8 o'clock, we came to a big hole, and I caught an 18-inch brown. I took the water temperature. It had gone up 0.1 degree. And that started the feeding for the larger trout. And this happens all the time, but a lot of trout anglers aren't aware of it because they're not taking the temperature like I've been doing for years.
Yeah, you lost a few of those thermometers over.
Oh, yes. Yes, and then I finally tied them to me.
So
anything a trout angler doesn't want to lose out there, you better tie to your fishing vest.
Oh, I guess today, Jay Thurston of Viroqua, an outdoor writer. His book, by the way, is titled Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams. And you've got some great stories. I think over about 60 of his columns from the Broadcaster, where he wrote for the Vernon County Broadcaster. And they're a wonderful collection of stories about trout and about the out-of-doors, how to catch trout, but also just the experience of trout fishing. And you know, the experience, sometimes it's a solitary thing, and sometimes you're out there with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But and how's that different for you, by the way?
Well, I enjoy both, but I have an opportunity to learn something from some awfully good trout fishermen. And as a writer, I've been able to fish with some of the best, I think, in the state. And we have an awful lot of great fishermen here. So I've learned something from each one of them. And it's resulted in a pretty good story. For example, a lot of people don't know that it was attorney Dan Flaherty, a worm fisherman. And in fact, Dan says that he's a night crawler purist. But he is a solid angler that fishes with night crawlers, and he's very, very good at it. And he is the man largely responsible for our trout stamp, which became about on January 1st, 1978.
Yeah. Some trout fishermen call that garden hackle.
Yes, right.
those worms. Uh-huh. Well, we've got Edmund from Merrill online. Let's go to Edmund for a question or comment. Hi, Edmund.
Hello. Yes, I was going to ask about I have a farm out here on the Copper River, and I'm wondering if that might have been one of the rivers that might have hit a trout stream hot spots there. I've heard from people that, you know, there aren't much to fish there other than, bass and pike and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. The Copper River, did you say?
Yes, yeah. I'm up in Merrill, Wisconsin.
It isn't on the list. Mm-hmm. I don't recall. I evaluated 286 trout streams in order to get the 100 best, so it's somewhere in those 286, but it didn't make the 100 best.
Right.
You are in Lincoln County?
Yes.
The Prairie River, Big Rib River, and the Big Pine Creek are all on my list.
Okay.
From Lincoln County.
And is there, now what determines whether DNR would like to introduce stock to a situation like the copper?
Well,
I tell you what, I'm going to break in here because we need to take a short break, but that is an excellent question, Edmund. And Jay, you hang on to that thought. And we'll get back to our guest, Jay Thurston, author of Spring Creek Treasure, right after a quick look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about trout and trout fishing today with John Ford Thurston, author of the book Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams. And he should have a pretty good idea about the best ones because he's been fishing them for a long, long time, and he's a great writer. Really enjoyed reading his book, and certainly invite you to take a look at it too. If you're interested in fishing or in trout fishing in particular, you're going to find a wealth of great information. Join in at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. And Jay had someone who wondered about determining stream stocking. What does mm-hmm. the DNR do to, what do they use as criteria to determine that?
Okay, that's a good question. The DNR has streams listed in three categories in their book, Wisconsin Trout Streams. It was published in 2002. And the streams are evaluated by the freshwater stream biologists in the state. And they have the list one is streams that have natural reproduction and don't need any planting. Streams two and second list have some natural reproduction, but generally they do some planting in those streams too. And the category three are streams without natural reproduction, so they're dependent upon planting trout from the DNR in level three streams. So essentially that's it.
That's what they use. And we have a lot of streams where we have natural reproduction. We have a lot of class ones.
In fact, we've been gaining them, particularly in this region. One of the interesting things that has happened here, because of better farming practices, preventing rapid runoff of water, in a study that was done in the 1960s, and it was determined, Ed Brick, a DNR hydrologist, told me about this. It was determined that since 1950, we have 2% more cold water coming out of spring water in our streams here than we had in the past. So essentially, you see, 60 years later, this happens 2% more each decade. So now, six decades later, our streams are 12% bigger than they were in 1950. Hmm. So we have more cold water, more habitat for trout, and the streams are getting better.
And that's very good news.
Yes, that's a story largely. I guess there are a lot of people realize this stream looks bigger than it did, you know, if they fished it 30 years ago. And it is.
And it is.
But there's a reason for that, and it has to do with the good farming practices, essentially.
Peter in Madison, let's give you a chance now. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, thank you. You basically answered my question. So the book I'm looking for is called Wisconsin Trout Streams, 2002.
That's the DNR book.
Is that you're interested in? Yes, you can get that from the DNR, from any service station. Mm-hmm. They have that particular book.
Mm-hmm. And Jay's book is titled Spring Creek Treasure.
Okay, treasure. And then can I ask one little question?
Sure.
What do you think about, I'm doing work now that involves clearing creeks, you know, for paddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm getting to the point where I'm realizing that the streams would be good if they could overflow their banks into the nearby farm fields instead of being kind of rushed down towards the Wisconsin River, this one stream I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion on what could possibly be done to make a more natural kind of overflowing thing?
Well, the DNR now is doing habitat improvement on streams and providing for habitat improvement for all kinds of amphibians, such as frogs and snakes and turtles and birds as well, not just trout. And so the designs are a little bit different than they've been, where in the past mainly we were putting in lunker structures under banks, and now they're using more rock, beveling the stream back to allow for flooding without damage. And as a result, I think some of our streams are looking more natural after habitat improvement than they did previously. And we have a better habitat there for a lot of amphibians and birds besides trout.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. And turning to, and I should mention before we go to John in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, I should mention that trout need shade.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, they'll find that under the banks and under logs. And so some of the habitat improvement is putting logs back into the trout streams as well.
Yeah, that's right. John in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, your turn. Hi.
Hi, how are you? What a treat.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm on my way, actually, on a day of vacation to see a customer up in Gays Mills, Wisconsin, and stay at the inn at Lonesome Creek. And I'm going to fly fish with a local guide out of Viroqua. And I've just finished a wonderful book called Nail Knot about fly fishing and murder mystery on Black Earth Creek. And I'd be interested in Mr. Thurston's opinion on the Yellow Sally Hatch as far north as Viroqua and when that starts and what stage it might be in now.
Well, I can't give you much information on that because I don't fly fish as much as I spin fish. So I don't pay very much attention to the hatches, although I was out fishing about 2 weeks ago and there was just a tremendous caddis hatch taking place. About size 14, dark gray to black color. So some evening. Of those are happening now.
That would be in the evening?
It was happening in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. Excellent.
The temperature was just right. And,
okay.
You know, the hatches depend upon water temperature, too. And so I guess it was probably about the 50-degree line, and that's when we have quite a few of our hatches taking place. So you're going to probably get the water temperature right around 50 degrees now.
And who are you fishing with, by the way, John?
I'm gonna fish with Matt at the Driftless Angler.
Matt Wagner is an excellent fisherman, and he will take you to some good places.
He's a good man. He introduced me to the Elk River in British Columbia, and I've been a good supporter of his ever since. So we're looking to, we're going to start early tomorrow about 7 and see what happens.
Good luck to you, John.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Participate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And and you're in particular a person who should be getting a copy of Jay's book, Spring Creek Treasure, because I think you're going to really enjoy it. You know, he mentioned Yellow Sally, and Yellow reminded me of one of your tips in there. That yellow is always a good color for fish in general, and I've got a little story about that. I fished muskie. The first time I fished muskie on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, I was out of Bill Tutt's resort. Bill's since passed away. But he said the only color I should be using on the water was yellow.
And when you don't know what color to use, always go to yellow. I was taking a fly fisherman from Savannah, Georgia, fishing on the Big Kickapoo River. And we weren't doing very well, and he wondered what he should use next. And I said, do you have a fly in yellow? And he found a Mickey Finn, tied it on, and caught his biggest trout he'd ever caught.
I don't know what it is about yellow, but that particular day, on the Turtle Flambeau, of course, we were muskie fishing, but we went out across to a stump field, and I threw, I think, 4 times and caught about a 40-inch muskie on the one yellow bucktail I had in my in my tackle box. So later we went to town and bought more yellow.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, boy. Dick in Waukesha, it is your turn. Hi, Dick.
Hi, Larry and Jay. Jay, you said that there aren't any ugly trout streams in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I think I have one. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I haven't done any fishing for, I don't know, I'm too unsteady in my pins, but this was, I was fishing for steelhead on the Menominee River in Milwaukee, east of Miller Park. Miller Park was being constructed. And underneath the I-94 bridge, there was a red, and the spawning female and a couple of males hanging in downstream from her. And I fished and fished and fished, and several times I fished there. But one time I caught a 4-pounder, and another time I caught a 6-pounder. But in one of those episodes when I hadn't had any contact yet, a 4-unit freight train went by very close, 50 feet away, and those fish just went wild. I could feel it in my feet. They were all over that pool until the 4th unit went by, and then it was just freight cars, and bing, that female was right back in the red, and the males were lined up behind her. But when they built that Miller Park, they had to have more parking, and they rearranged the stream, and they eliminated that location.
Oh, they're so sensitive to vibrations. And, of course, the vibrations in water travel much better than they do through the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, with their lateral line, they've got thousands of little nerve endings coming out through the scales along that line. And so they can feel vibrations that you or I would never feel. And even I read in one account where trout could feel an angler walking on the bank 100 feet away.
Wow.
Now, that's quite a ways. But, you know, I always wade as cautiously as I can and try to even avoid making waves because they'll feel those, too, rolling up over the top of them.
But then you have to be patient and wait.
Yes. Yeah, you can wait until everything settles out, and 5 or 10 minutes, they're right back there ready again.
The mink and the birds, and 15 minutes later, why?
Yep, you're back to it. Dick, good story. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to turn to Dan in Liberty, Paul. Dan, hello to you.
Hello. Back about 10 years ago, I worked for Trout Unlimited doing conservation work with the Amish out in the Driftless area. And at that time, the big controversy was always how beaver impacted trout. And the old-timers would tell you, if you want to catch little trout, go to the stream. If you want to catch the big ones, you go to the beaver pond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the conservation people want to take the beaver dams out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we also had a researcher who said he's seen very large trout swim right through a beaver dam. I'm just wondering what your feelings were about beaver and trout and so forth.
Okay.
You couldn't be more timely with your question, because I have an article sitting here that goes to the broadcaster on beaver and their effects on trout fishing. The beaver in this region do not have the same impact that they do up in northern Wisconsin, because our trout streams have higher banks. The gradient is much faster here of our water flowing through the stream. And when a beaver builds a dam here, they don't back up the water very far. We may only get a half acre to an acre pond. Well, in northern Wisconsin, you might get a 300 or 400 acre pond, and up there, the water may warm up as much as 15 degrees, literally damaging the beaver or the creek, so the trout won't be there. That doesn't happen here. The warmth that that stream has from a beaver pond is essentially negligible. It isn't enough to really impact the stream at all as far as temperature is concerned. And there's a study done in California where they found in 1961 that brown trout, rainbow trout, and brook trout all were able to get upstream. In fact, they went through 14 beaver dams. So I can conclude that, generally speaking, the trout do not have a problem getting above beaver dams. So we don't need to remove them for that reason, and we don't need to remove them here either, as a result of the water warming up. And I think the best thing to do is to let it take its course, because the beaver are going to stay there until they've eaten up the vegetation that's handy for them, and then they'll move on.
Then they'll move, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it, Dan. Thank you very much for calling. Jane, or Jana, in Petoskey, Michigan, excuse me. Your turn. Hi, Jana.
A few months ago, I went online to try to find a site that would tell me what fish are healthy to eat, how often you can eat them from our lakes and streams and rivers, and I couldn't find a thing. So I'm wondering if your guests can give me some idea about that.
Well, it's on the Wisconsin Natural Resource Department website about mercury content in fish. And of course, the bigger fish, the more likely they have mercury in them. And trout will stay in our streams 9 or 10 years as the life cycle of the trout. So, generally speaking, the smaller fish are safer to eat throughout the state. But beyond that, I can't give you much more information. You'd have to go to the DNR website.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I would bet the Michigan DNR would have the same thing on its website.
I did try that, but I'll try again.
All right, try again. And certainly the Wisconsin DNR website does have that information online. So give that a try. And by the way, we have some open lines finally again, so we can get you on too with your question. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Ken in Franklin next. Ken, hello.
Hello. Hello, Jay. Jay, you sent me an email yesterday, you remember?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I sent it to the rest of the people. I don't know how many from my club are listening.
Very good. Thank you.
But I hope so.
We're having a good time.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you lived in Viroqua.
Oh,
you ever fish the Bad Axe? Is that on your list?
Oh, yes, it is. Both the North Fork and the South Fork of the Bad Axe are on the list, the 100 best. In fact, my wife and I often take a Sunday drive, and wouldn't you know, we're looking at trout streams. And so I identified the place that I'm going to be fishing soon on the South Fork of the Bad Axe. Because you have to, if you don't have permission and it's not public land, you have to have an entry place and an exit place on public land. And so that's what we were doing, looking for that entry and exit place.
So you need, because as long as you stay in the stream,
mm-hmm.
you are not trespassing, correct?
That's correct.
All right. There you have it. Thanks, Ken, for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Pete in Soldiers Grove. Hi, Pete.
Hi. How are you today?
Great.
I heard the caller earlier, John from Glen Ellen, and it was funny because John stays at our B&B a number of times, but he called it the Inn at Lonesome Creek. It's really the Inn at Lonesome Hollow.
Very good.
But beyond that, I just wanted to say I had two friends up from Chicago Saturday, and we met them at lunch in Soldiers Grove, and they had a fantastic morning of fishing.
Good
they caught
hear.
More than so, 50 trout in the morning hours.
Saturday was one of those great days with a misty rain when you would have really dark conditions, and that's what you need for trout fishing.
I did not hear how they did in the afternoon, but they were hoping to get their total over 100. They released everything and just were having a terrific time.
Oh, man, 50.
Yes, I had email from a friend. He and another fellow were fishing on Friday under similar conditions, and they had caught 102 trout.
Yeah.
So well, there's a story in my book titled The Greatest Fishing Secret, and that's about that misty, rainy day.
Yeah, and I sure related to Pete, thank you, by the way. And
you're welcome.
And what's the name of your place again?
It's called the Inn at Lonesome Hollow, and we're halfway between Gaze Mills and Soldiers Grove.
All right. We got to get that in there. When I read that piece about a misty rain, I was, and you had a chapter where you mentioned winter Wisconsin, and I've often fished in that area and for muskie.
Yeah.
And I remember the day that I caught the most muskie I ever caught in my life in a single day. Was 13. I caught 13 in under an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was all, well, and they weren't any, the biggest one was only 38 inches. But it was practically, it was a mist started.
Mm-hmm.
It had been bright, and then a mist started, and the fish started biting immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I, frankly, if I cast and didn't get a hit, it was almost unusual in that hour, less than an hour period. And the rain stopped, the sun came out, and that was the end of it.
Yes. Yes.
It was the highlight. One of the high. And none of the fish were big, as I said. I think the biggest was 38 inches, but.
Uh-huh.
It sure was a lot of fun because that doesn't happen muskie fishing very often.
Uh-huh.
Jim in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Oh, great show.
Thanks.
I have a question. I should probably know the answer to this, but I want to ask you professionals. I've been digging around my compost pile, and I find these big, fat grubs.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are huge, but they're as round as a big, you know, a noodle. You know,
yeah.
They're big. Are those any good for fishing?
Oh, I think they'd be very good.
Yeah.
Do you relate to ever using chub tails?
Yeah.
Have you heard about that? Because my dad was a worm fisherman, and when he'd catch a chub, he would take and cut the tail off and skin the tail and put it on his hook. And I began using chub tails, too, and, oh, they're just deadly for trout. And, of course, we don't have chubs in our streams anymore like we used to.
Right.
But bait fishermen, I think, would still do that and catch some nice fish. So your grub is something like that chub tail.
Okay, real good. Now, what about those other little things you find in there that are kind of slimy? Not grubs, but...
Not worms either?
Are they snails?
Yeah, they look like a snail, but these things are huge, too.
I don't think I can... tell you anything about that. But,
no.
But one of the best natural baits you can use late in the season is the grasshopper.
Yeah.
They're great for trout.
And, trout love them. And you'll love to catch them. You keep. I want to get, before I say any more, I do want to mention your title again because it's Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams, J. Ford Thurston, the author. It's published by Nightingale Press. And I assume any local bookstore can order that.
Yes, Bramble Books here in Viroqua has signed copies. So if you want a signed copy by the author, it'd be a good place to get it. And, of course, they're available at Amazon.com, and I think I found it just about every bookstore that's online, plus Barnes & Noble is supposed to have it in the other major bookstores.
Yeah, and any local bookstore, if your local bookstore doesn't have it, they can certainly get it. And, boy, this has been a real pleasure, Jay. Sorry we're out of time. I hope maybe we can do this again.
Well, I hope so. I certainly enjoy it. It's been good.
It's been a lot of fun. Jay Ford Thurston of Viroqua, Wisconsin, written a great book on trout fishing. It's called Spring Creek Treasure, and I highly recommend it. He's got a great chapter in there just on water and water quality that would be of interest to, frankly, anybody. Maybe I'll talk with him about that the next time he's on. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.